Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, young people, for singing that song. That was excellent. I'll say with the pastor, as he said this morning, the awards ceremony was excellent. I think that was the word he used, and I think it was a good description of it. Friday night, we heard that song. We watched that video. We heard chapters of the Bible quoted from the youth of the church, and then was able to hear the grades that many of them got, and even some character traits of many of them. And that was a blessing. I think y'all should add something. This is literally off the cuff right here, okay? I think next year the students should give y'all some character traits, an award of a character trait of the teacher, right? They gave character traits the other night of each kid, and that was interesting. It was funny. Some of them were very applicable, but some of them were a little funny as well, and so it was good to hear. You could, if you were here and you're the parents, you could see the personality coming out in some of those kids as they were getting those awards, and so it was a blessing. But anyway, I'm just thankful for what God's doing at FBA and just all that's happening there. If you would, you take your Bibles and go to Mark chapter number 5 tonight. Mark chapter 5. I feel like I'm wanting to say something and not remembering what it is. How many of you know how that feels? Yeah, you want to say something, can't remember what it is. Happens more often than it should. Mark chapter 5. It'll come to me. About halfway through the message, it'll just hit me. I know one thing. I told Pastor Brandon there was a theme. Well, he said there's a theme tonight. We sang Sweet Hour of Prayer. We sang I Need Thee Every Hour. And so he said, you know, an hour is the theme. I don't know if he was telling me to preach for an hour, or if he was saying be done in an hour, right? But honestly, at the time y'all got me up here, it's probably going to be close to that, right? And so we're doing well on the time, and so we're not in a hurry, but we may be out a little early. I do want to say this was one of the things I wanted to say. So we traced out some people for these silhouettes. Is that what you would call that, a silhouette? And I'm wondering if you can pick out me up there. Yes. Who said yes? The biggest head up there, is that what you're thinking? That's exactly the one on the far end. That's me right there. Look, right there in the gray with my mom. I told my wife, I said, you know, could you have at least, you know, tried to cut out a muscle there? You know what I mean? You'd have to go straight across. It even actually looks like, so my shirt, the way my shirt's hanging down, and thankfully you can't see it because of the wall there, but it looks like my muscle is falling down and not up. But it was my shirt that was hanging down. But I was like, when you were tracing this, you could have at least tried to put a little hump there or something. I mean, good night. That's the flattest muscle I've ever seen in my life. But, yeah, that's me up there. And so there's others in the building. Some of the young people from the school got traced out. And so now you're going to be trying to figure out who's who while I'm preaching. Please don't do that. I think that's Ren right beside me in the pigtails. Is that Ren right beside me? Yeah, with the flexing, and then Ren's right there. But anyway, I thank the Lord that Vacation Bible School decorations are over. That's always a stressful week, and as I said last week, we never know how things are going to go and what's going to happen, and it was that way this year. There's always some kinks, and we have to try to work through them, but God's faithful, and God always gets us through them, and I just praise the Lord. I mean that. God is faithful, and I thank God for his help, and there's times where I think it's not going to happen. And God always makes it happen, and it's the help of faithful people. I thank God for people that help. They don't need me to say this, but Brother Allen, if I tell Brother Allen regularly, if Brother Allen ever retires from Vacation Bible School decorations, I'm retiring with him, because him and Brother Dan, I'm telling you, they build it, I paint it, and my wife envisions it, and if any part of that doesn't go, we're in trouble. And there's others that jumped in, the Dean family, others jumped in and helped us out, and I sure do thank you for your help. It's a lot of time and a lot of work that goes into the Bible school decorations. But I believe this, and I mean it when I say it. I told my wife last night we got home. We were up here all day yesterday. We got home about 8 o'clock last night, a little bit after. And I said, you know, all the work that goes into Vacation Bible School, I sure hope we do it for the right reason. I mean that. We don't know. She said, what do you mean? I said, we don't know our own hearts. I said, if we're not careful, we'll do things and we'll think we're doing it for the right reason, but really the whole time we're doing it for the wrong reason. We're doing it so people will be impressed and say, wow, those decorations, they're amazing. Man, I did last year or this or that or whatever. Or, you know, we got the, you know, whatever. You call it what you want to call it. Some of you may not even be impressed. But honestly, I pray that anything that we do is for the reason that they sung about tonight. For His glory. Our good and His glory. And I mean that with all my heart. I hope that all the work that went into this, I hope it was done for His glory. I hope that God gets the glory for whatever's done, for whatever life is changed, or any heart that's challenged, anything that happens at Vacation Bible School. I pray to God that it's for His glory. And I know if it's for His glory, it will be for our good. And so thank God for your prayers. I believe this. I believe there were some people praying, because there was a couple times where we really didn't think it was going to get done. And just God's people praying, and God makes a way. Things just fall in place, and so I praise the Lord for that. You're in Mark chapter number 5, and I'm going to get into the message tonight. I'm going to look at a very familiar account in the gospel. Some of you that were in Brother Allen's Sunday school class 2 weeks ago, you probably think I'm preaching the same thing I taught to you. I'm not at all, but I was in Mark chapter 5 2 weeks ago, and this is an account that I've preached on many times, many lessons, Sunday school lessons and sermons have been preached about this account in the scriptures. And as I was thinking about really our Wednesday nights, pastors had us praying with our families on Wednesday nights. We've been focusing on the home on Sunday nights. And I was thinking about my opportunity to speak on Wednesday nights, which is coming up. And I thought about teaching on this passage during that time. And then Pastor reminded me a week or two ago that he was going to be at the meeting with BIMI and that I'd be preaching this Sunday night. And so immediately my mind went to this passage of Scripture, because I wanted to stay with the theme that he's been preaching, and that is on the home. And I wanted to kind of stick with the theme of Wednesday nights, where we've been talking about and emphasizing prayer. And so my mind went to this account in Mark chapter number 5. And I wanted to do something. I've got messages that I've preached or lessons that I've taught, and I was tempted to kind of pull them out and try to use one of them, but I didn't want to do that. And so I began to kind of look at Mark chapter 5 with fresh eyes. You understand what I'm saying? Kind of just look at it and see what God would give me this time. And after I looked over Mark chapter number 5 a couple times and I read through this account, then I looked over some old notes. But I want to give you what I believe God gave me as I re-looked and I re-examined this account in Mark chapter number 5 about a man named Jairus. Now, I don't know if that's exactly how you say his name. If you listen to preaching and you've been in church for some time, you've probably heard his name pronounced many different ways. But I'm going to pronounce it Jairus, okay? I might say it different next time. Who knows, right? But I think it'll be Jairus, right? And we're going to look at this account of Jairus, and I want to talk about him. And really, the thought that I want to bring out tonight is this. I want to talk about the difference that a dad can make. The difference that a dad can make. Now, I want you to understand, as I preach this message, I understand that I'm preaching to many different people here tonight. And so I don't want you to think when I say that's just kind of for sake of title or for sake of sermon. And I do believe in the context, that's what we're talking about tonight, is a father, a dad, Jairus. But I don't think it's just restricted to one person. I believe we could say the difference a person can make, the difference a mom can make, the difference a Sunday school teacher can make, the difference a friend can make, the difference a sibling can make. So I think this could apply to everybody in the auditorium tonight, but because of the text and the scripture that we're looking at, I want to talk about the difference a dad can make. Because as I look through this account and as I read this story, as I looked at it with fresh eyes, that was the first thing and probably the most important thing that jumped out this story to me, was the difference a dad can make. And so I want to look at that in Mark chapter number 5. I want you to look at verse number 21, if you would. Mark chapter number 5 and verse number 21. The Bible says this. It says, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name.
And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the message. Father, I want to thank you, God, tonight for this opportunity to preach your word. I thank you for these young people that have sang, God, for the message in that song. God, I thank you for this occasion, Lord, where we can be challenged, I hope, tonight by your word about the difference that we can make in the lives of people that we love. God, I pray that somehow, some way tonight, you would take my words, and God, you would use them, Lord, in the hearts of your people. God, I pray you take your word and use it tonight in our lives, Lord, and help us to be challenged and to be encouraged from the preaching and teaching of the word of God tonight. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing I see in this account that I want to look at about Jairus is this. As I was looking through this passage, there was something that really stuck out to me, and I was trying to think of a word to describe it, and this is the best word that I could come up with, and that is his desperation. His desperation. As I read those couple verses of Scripture to you, if you were paying close attention to the Bible, I believe that you would see a man that was desperate. Do you see it? Let's look at it again. Verse number 21, it says, when Jesus passed over again by ship to the other side, much people were gathering him. He was nigh unto the sea. And look at it, it says, behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly. And he crieth, the Bible says. It says he besought him greatly. At another account, it says he crieth and he says, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. And I see here a man in his desperation. I want to point it out to you. The first thing I see here is a desperate parent. Or you could say it like this in the event that you're not a parent, a desperate person. Do you see that here? You see a man that is in a desperate situation, and I say a desperate person, it's as if the Bible wants us to know that this is one individual. It says Jairus by name. The Holy Spirit of God wanted us to know exactly who this was. This is Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue. This is a parent. He's talking about his little daughter. In Luke chapter number 8, verse 42, it says Jairus came and it says he had one only daughter. So this is this man, this parent that has one daughter and she's 12 years old. And what we have here is a parent that's in a desperate situation. It's a desperate person or a parent in this case. And I don't know if there is any desperation like that of a parent in need for their child. As a parent of five children, and there's many parents in this auditorium tonight, I don't know that there's anything in this world that will make you more desperate than a situation that involves your child. Here Jairus is, and it's talking about his 12-year-old daughter, his only daughter, his only child that he has, and she's at the point of death. She's dying. And as we'll see in a little bit, she actually dies. And so Jairus is in a very desperate situation. We have a parent here that's very desperate. He's in a hopeless situation. You know, it's interesting. Most people believe this. I don't even know that I knew this. I've preached through this and taught this, but I don't know that I knew this. But most people believe that Jairus was a ruler at the synagogue in Capernaum. Okay? You say, well, what's the significance of that? If you were to look back, and I'm not going to have you do it, but if you were to look back a couple chapters, you know what happened in Capernaum? There was a centurion in Capernaum, And his daughter was sick of the palsy, and he came to Jesus. You remember that story? Or he actually might even sent to Jesus. I didn't read it this afternoon. I'm going by memory here. But he told Jesus, he asked Jesus if he would heal his daughter that she lieth at home sick of the palsy. And he said, I know, he said, I'm a man that has many men that are under me. And he said, if you'll just say the word, she'll be healed. You don't even have to go to her, Master. All you got to do is speak, and my daughter will be healed. You understand? This man understood authority. You know what I'm saying? This is the man that Jesus marveled at the faith that this man had. Well, this centurion, the Bible says about him that when the Jews came to Jesus, they talked about this centurion. They said, he's a good man. He's the centurion that headed up the building of the synagogue in Capernaum. And so there could be a connection here. Most people believe, because of where Jesus is at in this story, that Jesus is in Capernaum or nearby Capernaum, and that Jairus is a ruler of the synagogue in Capernaum where this centurion was overseeing that building project. And so there's a good possibility that Jairus had heard about the centurion situation. You understand what I'm saying? And so here's this ruler in the synagogue. Now, that doesn't mean he's the pastor of the synagogue, so to speak. What it means is that he's one of the elders, you would say, one of the administrators. He's over the business there in the synagogue. He's an important man in Judaism. And he comes to Jesus as a desperate parent. Now, we know, most everybody here on a Sunday night understands that for a Jewish man during this day, a ruler in the synagogue, to come to Jesus in broad daylight, he must be desperate. You understand that, right? Nicodemus came to Jesus. He was a ruler of the Jews. That's the same thing that Jairus is. Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, the Bible says, came to Jesus by night. But here's Jairus in broad daylight, coming to Jesus. Why? Because he's desperate. He's in a desperate situation. It's a desperate parent. It's a desperate person, and he needs some help. And so we see his desperation. We see a desperate parent. Not only that, we see a desperate position. Look at what the Bible says. The Bible says that he fell at his feet. Verse number 22. Jairus, he says, when he saw him, he fell at his feet. This is a man that is a ruler in the synagogue there in Capernaum. This is a very religious man, most likely a very proud man by what we know about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and Judaism at that time. But yet here Jairus is, because he's in a desperate situation and he's a desperate parent, he finds himself in a desperate place, and it's at the feet of Jesus. He's desperate. Do you see it? I hope you see it. It's very important. I'm going somewhere with this because I'm afraid that many times we're not desperate enough. But here this man, Jairus, he's a desperate parent. He's in a desperate place. He's at the feet of Jesus. Not only is he at the feet of Jesus, but he's at the feet of Jesus in public. You know, we are real good. I say we. I can only speak. I said we. See, I told you I spoke more languages. Earlier, we were talking about speaking Spanish. I speak French. Speak Spanish. I'm bilingual or trilingual. No, I don't even. What is it if you can speak multiple languages? What is that, James? Trilingual. Thank you. See, y'all laughing at me like I don't know what I'm talking about. But anyway, right? This man, I don't even know what I'm talking about now, right? We're real good. We're real good at getting at the feet of Jesus in private, is where I was going with this. I think sometimes we're real good at, when we have a situation, we're real good at going to Jesus in a private place, maybe in our prayer closet, wherever that may be, and getting at the feet of Jesus. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good place to be. Jesus said, go away into a private place. Go and shut your door. But can I tell you, if we get desperate enough, there'll be times where we don't care if it's private, we don't care if it's public, we just need to get to the feet of Jesus. And here's Jairus in a public place where the Bible says that much people, look at verse 21, I think it is. When Jesus came over, the Bible says that when the ship came over, there was much people gathered unto him. In verse 24, it says, and Jesus went with him. Look, and much people followed him and thronged him. Can you get the picture? Jesus has just come over the sea. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that happened in Mark chapter number 5. He cast out the demoniac there at Gadara. And then he comes back across the sea. And Jesus, as soon as he gets there, this great group of people are waiting for Jesus. And in my mind's eye, I'm seeing Jesus going through the village there of Capernaum or wherever he is at this point. The Bible doesn't say clearly, but much people are coming out and they're thronging Jesus, and they want to see Jesus. They want to get close to Jesus. I mean, they've heard about this man Jesus and all the miracles that he's doing. And all of a sudden, here comes a ruler of the synagogue, a very important man in Judaism. And in broad daylight, out in public, in front of everybody, he falls on his face in front of Jesus and he besought the Lord publicly. You see, he's desperate. And when we get desperate, I was thinking about this. You know, it's amazing how that desperation just kind of does away with pride. We can be very prideful people. And we don't like to show our weakness or our vulnerability or whatever you want to call it. But when you get in a desperate place, when you get in a desperate situation, when it's your only little girl and her life's at stake, you know what you'll find? Your pride doesn't mean anything. You just need help. And you don't care about what everybody else thinks. You don't care about what the neighbors think. All you care about is, can I get to somebody that can help my daughter? Somebody that can fix my situation. And that's where Jairus is. He's in a desperate place. He's in a desperate position. And not only that, we see a desperate plea. Look at verse 23. The Bible says, and he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. Look at it. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and she shall live. Jairus, the Bible says, he besought him greatly. He said, I pray thee. I mean, Jairus is making a desperate plea here. He's saying, oh, Jesus, if you would you come and lay your hands on my daughter that she may live? Jairus has some faith. I think he probably heard about that centurion's daughter. Now, he didn't have the faith the centurion had, evidently, because he didn't say, if you'll just say it, she'll be healed. But he said, if you just come and if you just lay your hands on her, I know you could heal. I've heard about what you've done. And he makes a desperate plea. He's asking Jesus to do something. Do you see the desperation now? Maybe you already saw it. I don't know, but I'm trying to get you to see a man that is desperate. I thought about this, and I'll move on to my next point. I wonder if we realize how desperate some of our situations are. I was running yesterday morning, and I was thinking about this message and just kind of praying as I was running and talking to God, and I was trying to play over this thought in my mind, and I couldn't get past that point right there. I couldn't go any further because as I said running, probably should call it jogging. I don't know if you call what I do running, okay? As I was jogging, I was praying and I was thinking and I was just meditating on this passage of scripture, and I began to ask myself, am I desperate? Because can I tell you, there's some desperate situations in my life. If you have loved ones that are not saved, and I do, and I believe many of you do, can I tell you, that's a desperate situation. Jairus said, I have a 12-year-old daughter that she's at the point of death. Can I tell you, no man's guaranteed another day. We have loved ones that are lost in their sin, and for all we know, they could be at the point of death. It's appointed unto man once to die. And no man knows what a day may bring forth. And I'm just afraid sometimes that we get so caught up in life that we forget how desperate some of our situations are.
And I'm not saying that we should just live in a state of desperation as Jairus is. Don't misunderstand me here. But what I'm saying is we're talking about prayer and we're talking about our families. And I just wonder when we go to the Lord in prayer and when we beseech the Lord, do we understand? Do we do it desperately? Do we really understand how serious the situation is? Do we understand that there's an enemy that wants to destroy our families? Do we really believe that there is an enemy that wants to get my children away from God? Because if we really believe that, can I tell you, that's a desperate situation. And we need to go to God the way that Jairus did, with desperation. We've got family members who are not saved. We have an enemy that wants to destroy our family. We have a world that's spiraling out of control, and we should regularly find ourselves where Jairus is, and that is in a desperate place. Desperate people with a desperate plea saying, oh God, please do something in my family. Oh God, please save that loved one. Oh God, would you please speak to their heart? There's a desperation here. Not only that, I see number one, a desperation. Number two, I see this, a determination. You know the story, so I'm not going to preach through the whole account here. In verse number 24 through verse number 34, Jesus, the Bible says in verse number 24, it says, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And then it says a certain woman. And she steps in. And you know, I thought about this. So you know, we talk about his determination. I don't know how long this took. But I would imagine to Jairus, it felt like an eternity. Jairus says, Jesus, would you go with me? My daughter's at the point of death. I need you to do something in my situation. And the Bible says Jesus went with him. And as they were going, this woman crawls up and touches the hem of Jesus' garment. The Bible says Jesus turned and he asked who touched him. And I'm not going to preach this. You know the story. But I can only imagine if I'm Jairus, I'm thinking, hey, she just cut in line. Now, maybe you're more spiritual than me. And you wouldn't have thought that. But I'm that guy, and before you look at me too funny, I think some of you are too. I'm that guy coming down 29 from Charlottesville, right there about Walmart. That thing cuts down from four lanes. Well, it used to. It don't anymore, but it used to cut down from four lanes to two. I'm that guy that's like, you know, you're not getting in front of me. You know what I'm saying? They trying to cut in front of you, and you're like, we're going to cause an accident right here. We're gonna see who's more brave right here, right? You're not butting in front of me, right? I'm keeping my spot. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all getting them little accidents and they go down to one lane and you coming along and you see that big truck coming up beside you and you're like, I see you, fool, and you start trying to get over and block him, right? You riding in the middle of the road. Like, you're not butting in front of me, man. I need this spot, right? Until it's you and you running late. You got to go to the bathroom or something. Then all of a sudden you in the left lane and everybody's trying to run you off the road, right? And then you're like, oh, yeah, that's right. That's me too. Okay, but anyway, that's how Jairus, if I'm Jairus, that's how I felt, okay? What's she doing? He's going with me, right? You need to wait your turn. I just think Jairus was probably thinking, my daughter's dying. Right now, there's a couple ways you could look at this. I thought about it. So we see, I said his desperation. Well, I want to look at his determination. His determination and his waiting. Now, I don't know exactly all that happened here. I don't know how long it took. It appears not to have taken too long. But you know, when you're reading the Bible, sometimes you read stuff and it sounds like it happened like this, but then you find out, oh, this was actually a pretty long period of time. But we just didn't want to write a novel right here, and so we only got the high points. This could have took a little while. I don't know how long it took. I know this, however long it took, Jairus was waiting. He didn't turn and walk away. And Pastor talked about waiting this morning. It was one of his points. He was talking about waiting. I had some verses I was going to share, but he shared some of them about wait on the Lord. Right? Trust in the Lord and wait on the Lord and renew your wings like eagles. And we need to wait, right? Jairus waited. I thought about a song that I believe the ladies sing here. It talks about staying still. Y'all want me to sing it? Go ahead, preach, that's right, sing. Blessing. Come on, Marcus. They said, stand still and let God move. Standing still is hard to do. It's hard to stand still. Especially when we're desperate.
Especially when there's something we really want God to do, and all of a sudden, God says, wait. But we've just got to wait. And Jairus waited. He didn't get ahead of God. He didn't run from God. He just stood there waiting. And we see his determination in his waiting. Not only that, we see it in his watching. You know, there's two ways you can look at this, and I've heard it preached probably both ways. But Jairus is sitting here, and he's watching as Jesus heals this woman with the issue of blood. And I think two things could have happened. One, Jairus could have been encouraged. Jairus could have been watching as Jesus healed this woman and thought, oh, yeah, I got the right doctor. You know what I'm saying? I'm with the right one. Or Jairus could have gotten discouraged and thought, why'd she get in front of me? This woman's had this issue of blood for 12 years. Another 2 days ain't going to hurt her. My daughter's dying. This woman's had this for a long time. This situation isn't as important as my situation is. And so I don't know how Jairus looked at it. He could have been encouraged or he could have been discouraged. The Bible doesn't tell us. It could possibly be a little bit of both. You ever been there? Where you're waiting for God to do something in your life or in your family or in your situation. And while you're waiting, you're watching God do stuff in other people's lives. Are you with me? You want God to send you a spouse, but your best friend gets one. Right? You want God to give you a new job or allow you to buy a house and somebody else at church buys a new house. You're asking God to save your parents and somebody else at the church's parents get saved. And you know what will happen if we're not careful? We can get encouraged and say, praise God. Hey, if they got a house, I can get one. If they got a job, I can get one. If they got a spouse, I know I can get one. Amen. I know some of you thinking that. You're thinking, man, if they can get married, whoo, there's hope for me. I know it. I'm telling you, some of you's thinking that. There's hope for me. It's encouraging, right? But then if you're not careful, all of a sudden the devil will come along and whisper, you think so? Maybe you think a little highly of yourself than you ought. And then you'll start to get discouraged. I'm never going to get married. God's blessing everybody else. I'm never going to get a new job. I'm never going to get that house. My family's never going to get saved. My marriage is never going to get mended. This individual's not going to get healed. Oh, that person got healed, but my family member's not getting healed. And if we're not careful, we'll get discouraged or we can get encouraged. I think both could have been happening in Jairus' life. I don't know, but I know this. While this was happening, Jairus was waiting and Jairus was watching. He was determined that Jesus was going to his house. I wonder if we're determined tonight to not give up, to keep praying. God's going to save that loved one. God's going to bring that child back to church. God's going to fix my marriage. God's going to work in my situation. God is going to do what God always does, and I'm not letting go. I'm not giving up. Jairus was determined, and we see his determination in his waiting. We see it in his watching. I believe we see it in his wonder. You can't help but think what Jairus is wondering, what's going to happen? Will my daughter die? Will we get there in time? Will Jesus perform this miracle? Maybe Jairus has got more faith than me, but I'm just going to be honest. If I'm Jairus, I'm probably sitting there and there's a lot going through my mind. I'm waiting. I'm watching. I'm wondering, are we going to get there? What's going on? Is my daughter died? Is she okay? What's happening? I mean, can he really heal her? I mean, he's healing this woman, but my daughter's about to die. Can he do it? And I believe Jairus is wondering and he's watching and he's waiting, but he's determined he's going to take Jesus to his house. And so we see his desperation, we see his determination, and then last, we see his discovery. I believe Jairus discovered a couple things today that we've discovered and can still discover, and this is where I'll close. Number one, Jairus discovered something about interruptions. Life doesn't always go the way we plan. Can I get an amen right there? If you serve God long enough, you're going to find out life doesn't always go the way you plan. And you think, oh man, I'm serving God, I'm doing the right thing, Jesus is with me. Jesus is with Jairus. He said, the Bible says Jesus went with Jairus. Say, Jesus is with me, but it's not going the way I planned.
But what Jairus learned about interruptions is that doesn't mean God's not working. Not now doesn't mean no. Jesus may be teaching us something during the delay. I just personally believe there was a reason for this. I think it's interesting that this woman had an issue of blood. How many years? 12. Jairus' daughter is 12 years old. I believe Jesus was trying to teach Jairus something here. Jesus is about to do something big in Jairus' life. Now, Jesus could have went with Jairus and this situation never happened, and Jesus could have healed Jairus' daughter, but guess what? Jesus is going to do something bigger than heal her. He's going to raise her from the dead. Jairus is going to get to see Jesus do something that very few people ever get to see. And so sometimes when there's interruptions, when there's delays, when there's barriers or there's roadblocks in the way of our Christian life, we've just got to trust that God's got a better plan. And just believe and discover what Jairus discovered, and that is that there's interruptions along the way, but Jesus, as long as we're with Jesus, everything's going to be okay. If we're with Jesus, everything is going to be okay. And so he discovered something about interruptions. He discovered something about the impossible. Look at verse number 35, if you would. It says, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any farther? You can only imagine what went through Jairus' heart when he heard those words, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master anymore? Certain said, hey, I don't want to be one of the certain. I have been. Have you ever been one of the certain that tell somebody, oh, just give up? God's not going to answer that prayer. Jesus said, look at what Jesus said. Jesus, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. If you study this in the, and I'm not a Greek scholar by no means, not even a little bit, but people that understand the Greek language say that this only believe is a present imperative, and it speaks of continuous action. It's basically like Jesus is saying, only believe and keep believing. Be not afraid and believe and just keep believing, Jairus. It's a continuous action. Just keep on believing. You came to me believing that I could heal your daughter. Keep believing, Jairus. Just keep believing. You're about to see the impossible. And I'm just telling you tonight, brethren, hey, God can do the impossible. To man's eyes, it may look like that person getting saved is impossible, but we have a God that specializes in the impossible. To man's eyes, it may look like that situation, that sickness is hopeless. But can I tell you, we have a God that specializes in hopeless situations. By man's eye, it may look like there's nothing that God or anybody else could do for that marriage, but don't stop believing. God can fix that marriage. God can mend that relationship. God can bring that person back to God, to the church. God can do the impossible. With man, it's not possible. With God, all things are possible. And Jairus discovered that this day. He didn't just see his daughter get healed. He saw her get raised from the dead. The Bible says he was astonished. Look at verse number, at the end of the chapter, it says in verse number 42, and straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was at the age of 12 years, and they were astonished, look at it, with great astonishment. It's like the Bible said, astonished is not enough. It was with great astonishment. They couldn't believe what they had just seen. I mean, when Jesus told those people that that little damsel was not dead, she was sleeping, the Bible says they laughed him to scorn. They laughed at him. Huh? He thinks she's sleeping. Huh? She's alive. Why? Because Jesus does the impossible. And so Jairus discovered something about interruptions. He discovered something about the impossible. And I'm going to finish on time. Hey, he discovered something about an impact. About an impact. And that was the point that I opened with.
The difference a dad can make. Jairus had a major impact on his daughter's life. You know what Jairus discovered this day? He discovered that interruptions are not always, you know, delays are not always denials. He discovered that God can do the impossible, and he discovered that he could have an impact on his daughter's life. If he could get to Jesus, if he could plea and beg and get Jesus involved in the situation, then he could have an impact on his daughter's life. I doubt this girl ever forgot what her dad did for her. Now understand, Jesus healed her, not her dad. But I sure am glad, if I was her dad, that I could say I was involved in it. I went down there and got him. I went down there in public and fell at his feet in front of everybody. I chunked my pride and my status in the synagogue, and I fell at the feet of Jesus, and I begged him to come and touch my daughter, and he came, and he healed her, and he changed her life, and he put her back on her feet, and Jairus had an impact on his daughter's life. Can I tell you, we can have an impact on our family's lives. We can have an impact on our community. We can have an impact on our church. We can have an impact on our country. But I think it's going to take some people getting desperate. Some people realizing how bad the situation really is and getting desperate and getting determined and going to Jesus and pleading and begging and saying, oh, God, would you do something in this situation? You know, that's what Wednesday nights is about. I know because I've talked to Pastor. He's talked with us in our pastor's meetings on Tuesdays. The reason Pastor started this Wednesday night prayer time, and I know some of you may be thinking, man, when are we going to go back to normal Wednesday nights? And I don't know. I think it'll be soon. But can I tell you why Pastor wanted to do this in case he hasn't articulated it well to you? Because Pastor realizes this is a desperate situation. Our country's a mess. Our churches are dying. People are not living for God like they once did. And he understands that the only hope we have, the only hope America has, the only hope our church has, the only hope our family has, the only hope the lost in this community has, is that some people would get desperate and go to God and be determined, I'm not going to let go until God blesses. God's got to do it. If it's going to get done, God's got to do it. And we need to get desperate and we need to be determined. God, please do something in this situation. And I'll tell you what will happen. We'll discover what many have discovered throughout the ages. He's faithful. He's able. He does the impossible. And we can have an impact. Amen? You can stand to your feet if you would. Y'all check that out right there. I know we ain't praying it out of here yet, but y'all look, just go ahead. Look back there, right there. And then many times a preacher's going to tell you, look at the clock. Y'all look at that clock. See, God does the impossible. If you didn't believe it, you discovered it tonight. God does the impossible. Amen. I'm going to ask the pianist to play. You can bow your heads. And if God's spoken to your heart tonight, you just do business with God. I don't know your need. I know some needs in this church tonight. I do. And I thought about them as I was preparing this message. There's one couple that was really on my heart when I was preparing this message. And I'm telling you right now, God can do the impossible.